Quickly.
My goodness, you need a chair. I brought you a jacket and a couple of sweaters. They're wrinkled because they're in the back seat of my car for a long time.
Thank you.
I met Corey 18 years ago, about 1990. Polk Street was extremely active, a lot of people outside. When I first saw him, I was in the window of that QT, and I looked out and I saw him, and he was walking across the street. When I looked at him, I says, can't be. What I meant by can't be is that he couldn't be part of this whole thing that was going on Polk Street in those days. He just didn't fit it, you know, what I expected someone like a hustler to look like. He was extremely clean cut. He just looked like a kid that stepped out of one of your suburban towns. He had, of course, very nice, long, blonde hair, very attractive eyes. He was about 6'2", 6'3", 190, 200-something pounds. He was just an incredible-looking person. I mean, I cannot tell you, this kid, movie star written all over him. One day when I was walking on the street, he came by and said hello to me, and then we start talking. And then I met some of his friends and that sort of thing. And one thing we do a lot that he enjoyed a lot, he liked going to fast food places. When he's in my car, I just enjoyed being with him. Even if we weren't talking, he's just writing, I just liked him being there. It was just really a nice relationship. For me that way, I hope it was for him. But then when I found out that he was really a fixture on the street, that's the time when I started giving him a few bucks, you know, like for food or whatever it is. He, of course, living on the street would, you know, get dirty. So we had this thing where I would take him to a spa. And what he would do is go into the spa, and he just loved it in the water there. And then while he was in a spa, I took his clothes to a laundromat and washed them, dried them, and then got back to him before he got out of the spa. And I never forgot at a laundromat on Polk Street that I had put his clothes into the washer. And it was these washers where you had those big round windows, you know. And while the clothes were washing, I just happened to look at the window and a syringe came right out of the window, you know, with the suds and the clothes going around slowly. And I was just really kind of embarrassed. But it was also an interesting thing. When I was in that laundromat, a homeless lady came by and she found out I was doing Corey's clothes. And she goes, oh, you're an enabler. And of course, she was referring to that I was an enabler with Corey and doing things for him, giving him money and really keeping him where he's at in a way. And it was during this time that I realized and should have known that he was doing drugs all the time. And speed was the drug of his choice. He went down from a look standpoint and from how you could talk with him or not talk with him. He went down, I would say, fairly fast. He went into a lot of gibberish, what we call gibberish, or psychobabble, I think is another word we used to use for it. And then he had invisible friends, you know, that he called them. Tell you the truth, Corey's outlived what I thought. I thought he'd be gone, you know, living the life he is. But I'm amazed that he's still alive. Looking for Corey, what is there for him out here? You know, nobody seemingly wants to help him much, either financially or taking him in. He can't work because of his mind and his problems. When there were more gay bars here, and there were some very affluent men that came there, not all of them, but there were some that were very affluent. And that's not here anymore for the most part. And Corey's just, your word's perfect. He's a remnant. The only reason now I don't talk to him, because 18 years has been a long, long time, and I do have a life, and I'm way up there in age now. And so I've got to enjoy my life. And to see him sometimes down, it hurts. And it's, you know, the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. He's just a reminder of how bad it is for him. And it's a reminder to me that he's had a rough go. He's going through probably a lot of pain and all that. And I don't like to see that. I just think San Francisco is just so inundated with homeless people. It's just amazing. And they come from everywhere. And I think that's the... unfortunate thing for San Francisco because of its reputation that may not ever be able to shake that.